I'd like to, I'm going to turn to 1 Kings 20, read a couple of verses there. It's not really my text. There's a line in there that taken out of there, and that's also where I'm getting the title, I Am Thine. 1 Kings 20, verses 1 through 4. And Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, gathered all his hosts together, and there were 32 kings with him, and horses, and chariots. And he went up and besieged Samaria, and warred against it. And he sent messengers to Ahab, king of Israel, into the city, and said unto him, Thus said Ben-Hadad, Thy silver and thy gold is mine, thy wives also and thy children, even the goodliness are mine. And the king of Israel answered and said, My lord, O king, according to thy saying, I am thine, and all that I have. Now, Ben-Hadad asked for absolute surrender. Ahab agreed to give it to him. Absolute surrender. If you read the rest of this story, it takes a positive turn. God did look out for, granted Ahab victory because of Ben-Hadad's haughtiness. But also ended up with a very sad note because of Ahab not following through with God, what God asked him to do. But you know these words here, My Lord, O King, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have. Now, these words are words that every child of God must give to his king. The condition of God's blessing is one of absolute, is only if we absolutely surrender to his will. If we're willing to do that, there's no end to what God can do and to what he will do for us. And I trust that's the desire of every believer here this morning. There was a song that's been going through my mind a lot the last several weeks, and I looked it up, and I couldn't believe it's not in any of our songbooks, but seems very familiar to me, I Surrender All. Maybe I'm just missing it, I don't know, you can tell me if I am. But looking at the writer of that song, I did find it in those songbooks that Ron had brought here recently and given out. But this, his name was the writer's Judson W. Van Deventer. And starts out that verse, And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Matthew 10:38-39. Now, the Bible teaches us that brokenness is a prerequisite to blessing and usefulness. And no one ever achieves spiritual greatness until he has fully surrendered himself to God. You know, victorious living only comes when we abandon ourselves to the Lordship of Christ, becoming his loving bondslave. God's best for our lives is not the result of struggle, rather it is simply the acceptance of his perfect will and recognition of his authority in every area of our lives. Higher than the highest heaven, deeper than the deepest sea, Lord, thy love at last hath conquered. Grant me now my supplication, none of self and all of thee. Now, he wrote this text after going through a severe struggle, a fight of his own will or God's will. Now, he had other interests in mind. He had other things that he was pursuing. Art was one of them. But God had something else for him, and he says, At last the pivotal hour of my life came, and I surrendered all. A new day was ushered into my life, and he's totally changed what he had planned, what his plan for his own life. And he says, He caused me to sing. And he wrote this song, All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus I surrender, make me Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power, let thy blessings fall on me. And the chorus goes, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. I'd like to sing that song this morning, if I could have a pitch on that. D. Thank you. Wait a minute here. Round notes. There I go. Not very good. Me? Do that again. I'm sorry, I should go up. Okay, all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. You can stand if you want to. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live. I surrender. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that thou art mine.
All to Jesus I surrender. Make me, Savior, wholly thine.
All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power. Let thy blessing fall on me.
All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to thee. I surrender all.
And I trust we can sing that. We sang that song from the heart. And that's, our question that I'd like to have each of you, me, look at seriously this morning. Are you willing to surrender yourselves absolutely, without reservation, into His hands? You know, many have made that commitment. Many have failed. Many also can make you feel very miserable because they've not found the secret to that power. To live that life or to live that commitment, God claims this from mankind. It's what He created us for. Appreciate those verses that were read in the devotional this morning out of Psalms 135. He says, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all the deep places, making lightning, cause vapors, bringeth wind. Everything is in God's control. He's made everything. He's the creator, the fountain of life, the only source of existence, the source of all good things. Without Him was nothing made. How many of you had the privilege or took the time this past week to find a dark place without yard lights glaring in your face and to look up and just see the beautiful skies? It was just really just maybe it's like that all the time, I don't know, but it just seemed really phenomenal this last week, just bright, and just the heavens were just loaded with stars. It was awesome, just to look up there and think of the creator of the universe, the creator of the heavens, the creator of all that exists, the sun, the moon, it's just everything around us. Flowers, trees, all these things that God created there, absolutely, everything works together, everything works in harmony, it's all surrendered to Him. They allow God to work in them just as He pleases. How beautiful God's creation is. And we stand in awe as we gaze at a beautiful sunrise, sunset. Or how about waking up to a fresh blanket of snow? That might be just around the corner too. See some heads shaking. But it's beautiful to just see everything white, pure, clean. All the dust and the mud is covered up. All these beautiful things on this earth will pass away, but His redeemed will live forever. Life is short, eternity is forever and ever. And do we really believe that God can work in His redeemed children if there's only half or part of them surrendered? We say no, God can't work like that. God is love, God is life. God delights in communicating with those that are ready to receive Him. This past week I was talking to an older gentleman. And in the course of conversation, he used some pretty coarse language. But he stopped talking suddenly and he looked at me and he said, "Are you Mennonite?" I said, "Yes." And I told him, "Jesus is very precious to me." Well, then he quickly said, "I have a bumper sticker that says forgiven." I said, "Well, that's right. It's only by grace that any of us are forgiven. Sinners saved by grace." He heartily agreed with that. But I went on to say, He also calls us to a life of holiness. And all the agreement ended right there. He was ready to go. And I trust that we would all agree to that this morning, verbally. But does our walk and talk show that? In daily life, we know what complete surrender is. All of those of you that ate breakfast this morning, you used a spoon or a fork, it did whatever you told it to, or whatever you, wherever your hand put it, it went. There was no refusing. I noticed this morning I was sitting up here, there's some of you with pens in your hand. That pen does just what your hand tells it, just where it writes, hopefully, till the ink runs out. Unless it might be some of you that have a little chubby hand grabbing it as you're trying to take notes. And then things don't work so well. It gets all messed up. Might not even be able to read your writing. Because another hand has a hold of it. How can we that have received the divine nature expect God to be able to work His work in us if there's another hand? If there are other holds on us, another hand has a hold of us. It seems so very innocent or so justifiable. You know, like Saul, the people or these animals are for sacrifice. In the New Testament, we have the rich young ruler that came to Jesus there in Matthew 19. It says, "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man saith unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. In this man's case, it was the riches that kept him from surrendering all. He went away sorrowful because he had great possessions. In Zacchaeus' case, it says that he also was rich, but he chose to fully surrender to Christ. He didn't let things stand in his way to finding Christ, to finding that peace that passeth all understanding. And he heard Jesus say those beautiful words, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19:9. Whatever it took, he didn't want anything standing in the way of that relationship with his master. Full surrender, all to thee, my blessed Savior. The temple of Solomon was absolutely surrendered to God when it was dedicated to him. And every one of us is a temple of God. Our bodies are a temple of God that God wants to dwell in, and he can work mightily on one condition, and that is absolute surrender to him. You know, what less should we give him? What do we have to boast about? You know, everything we have, everything we can do is because of what he's done for us, and he has given us these resources to bring honor and glory to him. Too often, we are afraid of that surrender. What will it mean? Where will it take us? You know, I've been through so much. I can't go any further. I don't dare face the entire giving up because I can foresee the trouble, the agony. God doesn't ask us to surrender in our own strength or in our own power. God wants to do the work in you. Philippians 2:13 says, For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. If we're willing to fully surrender to him, he will work in us. The power is in him. It's not in ourselves. In Genesis 32, we have the account of Jacob. You know, they're wrestling with God till the break of day. And he was a man that could usually get himself out of his own scrapes. He had been in quite a few of them. But he found himself here in a predicament. He wasn't sure which way to turn. He didn't see a way out of it. He strategized. He tried to figure out a way to meet his brother that would gain him favor in his sight. But that night as he wrestled, he didn't prevail, but he desperately clung to the man. He wouldn't let go. And isn't that the place that God wants us? Desperately clinging to him. Trusting him to work a work in us. Now, Jacob was a changed man from that day on. He was touched. He never walked the same again in the literal sense. You know, if we fully surrender our lives to God and allow God to work in us, our walk will never be the same. It's going to be changed. He was a changed person after that. 2 Corinthians 5, very familiar verses there, it says, verse 17, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. A new creature. And new is something totally different, transformed. It's not reformed. Forgiven, walking with such gratitude for the blood that was shed for me. You know, it was my sins that nailed him to the tree. Abraham, a type of God, you know, took his promised son up on that lonely mountain. If you want to turn with me to Genesis 22, I'd like to read that account. It was the son of promise that he took up there, not the son of the bondwoman. You know, he didn't know how God would keep his promise, but he was surrendered to his will. Genesis 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I tell thee of. Verse 3. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven, and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by thorns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Notice there at the beginning it says he rose up early. Probably his normal time for morning sacrifice and praise. Doesn't this remind you of the one that we read so often in the New Testament, that he rose before it was day, or he rose up in the early in the morning to pray? Are you willing to sacrifice that time that we consider so precious for self to fellowship with the Father? You know, where late nights maybe seem fraught with temptation, early morning is a friend to devotion. Abraham didn't hesitate. And we don't read that he conferred with his servants, his faithful servants. You know, he rose early and obediently left on this journey. You know, that command would seem to be enough to stagger the strongest faith. God says, Take thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, his only son, heir of all, the son of his old age, the one that all his hopes and his dreams were wrapped around. How common sense must have argued against this command of God. How could God ask something like this? How will I face Sarah? This is contrary to the very law of nature. But you know, as before, it says, by faith he considered not the deadness of Sarah's womb when she was past age, but believed on him who said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed. So now, being convinced of the same, God spoke, commanded him to offer up that son of promise. And it says, he knowing that God was able to raise him from the dead, without delay he obeys the heavenly call. You know, where reason ends, faith begins. We don't read that Abraham answered a single no. You know, how much less brings a no from our hearts and lips? Full surrender, all to thee, my blessed Savior. Abraham wasn't given the details, but he did what he knew. He followed what he understood. He didn't refuse to move till he knew how this was going to work out, till he was given all the details. You know, that's what God calls us to do what we know, and he will reveal what we need as we go, whether it be through his word, through the church. It says, on the third day he saw the place afar off. In 3 days, you know, no doubt it's a type involved there. I'm not sure if it compares there with Jesus' death and resurrection, the 3 days involved there. But what all went through his mind those 3 days? Tenderly walking along, maybe with his hand resting on Isaac's shoulder. Turning aside into the brush to weep and to cry out to God. You know, he couldn't share his agony with any of his fellow men. They would likely have stepped in to prevent this terrible sacrifice. They wouldn't have been able to understand. You know, told his men in verse 5 to stay with the animals and he would come back. How? He didn't know. You know, Isaac carries the wood. Christ staggered under the weight of his cross. Isaac asked his beloved father, he said, we have fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? Abraham answered, you know, God will provide a lamb. Isaac, you know, type of Christ, willingly laid himself on the altar. He shared the faith of his father. It seems he was as willing to be offered as Abraham was to offer him. He fully trusted his earthly father. How far did Abraham see? How much did he explain to Isaac? I believe Isaac had complete confidence that Abraham was following God's command. We could let our minds wander, speculate what was said between father and son, and we may be able to come up with a feigned idea. You know, I don't think we'll be in any way able to comprehend it till we can sit down and hear them tell that story. You know, Isaac was a man like you and me. He needed a savior. He was spared, a ram was supplied for the sacrifice. Christ, God's only begotten Son, one who knew no sin, became sin, like we read earlier there in Corinthians. He had to face the Father, turning his back on him. And when we think of Abraham reaching us his hand, stretching out his arm, ready to slay his son, you know, God actually suffered his son to be slain, that we might live forevermore. Isaac had a substitute. Jesus, the God of Isaac, dies. God the Father provided the lamb for himself, a spotless lamb, one that didn't deserve to die. Because of Abraham's faith, God blessed and confirmed his promise to Abraham. Are you willing to sit loose to this world, to all the comforts of this world, prepared to part with anything and everything, whatever God asks of you? You know, has the faith that you claim influenced your heart, renewed your soul, like Abraham's, worked by love? Are your affections like Abraham's, set on things above? Has your faith enabled you to overcome the world, to surrender all lusts, pleasures, friends, the Isaacs in our lives? Is our faith real, or is it only a head faith, a head knowledge? Is it possible? Jesus says all things are possible. In Matthew chapter 9, we have the story of a man that brought his son to the disciples to be healed. Very pathetic situation. This man had a child that was humanly impossible to control. He had a spirit that would tear him. It says he would often throw him in the fire or the waters to destroy him. The disciples tried to heal him but were unsuccessful. You know, as parents, our hearts go out to this man. You know, we face the same enemy, one that would desire to have our children. It's a desperate situation. You know, maybe not in the same way this man faced, much more subtle. But to this man, it looked hopeless. But he had a ray of hope. He heard about this man, Jesus, and his disciples. But again, his hopes were dashed. But he didn't stop with that. He went to Jesus. And Jesus told him, he said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And the reply of that father said, straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." That's in Mark chapter 9, verse 23. "I believe, help thou mine unbelief." In desperation, reaching out in faith, clinging. Is it absolute? This man was not perfect, but he wanted healing with all his heart. You know, we must come to Christ in the same way. We can't do it without his help. It's Christ that does that work in us, but only as we absolutely surrender all to him. When his disciples asked him why they couldn't cast the spirit out, Jesus told them, "This can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." Think again of Abraham, early in the morning, going out to spend time in praise and devotion. If we can come to Christ with the same spirit that this man did in full surrender, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." You know, it may be with trembling heart. We may not always feel the power or even the determination. But if we're willing to surrender all and do whatever it takes in the midst of our trembling, the Holy Spirit will work and give us the strength we need if we fully surrender. And this is not a one-time, this is the believer's life. If we're willing to do that, God will take us through. He will keep us. Are you willing to trust yourself to the God of Abraham? Now let's give all to God. Let's let him maintain it. By ourselves it is impossible, but by the grace of God, by the power of God, and by the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in us, it is possible. Praise God. George Mueller, on his 90th birthday, told what he believed to be the secret of his happiness and of all the blessing that God had given him. He said he believed there were two reasons. The one was that he had been enabled by grace to maintain a good conscience before God day by day. And the second, that he was a lover of God's word. A good conscience is complete obedience to God day by day and fellowship with God every day in his word and prayer. A life of complete surrender. On one side, absolute surrender to work what God wants you to do. On the other side, to let God work what he wants to do. You know, do we long to be in Christ? Separate ourselves from the world. To be strangers and pilgrims in this world, but united to God and his love. Can we say from our hearts anything for a life of full fellowship with God and Jesus Christ, our Savior? You know, praise God if that's what our hearts desire this morning more than anything else. We can have the assurance and the promise of that continuing fellowship forever and ever. My Lord, O King, according to thy saying, I am thine and all that I have. Let's kneel for prayer.